Good morning. We'll be reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. We'll just pray before we read. Thank you, Father, for bringing us all here. Thank you for bringing me here, giving me the strength. I pray, Father, that you will remind us how holy your words are. Be with each one of us and with the pastor as he will deliver the message today. I thank you and I pray all these things in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. So chapter 4 of Mark, verses 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Amen.
These days we have been witnessing many, many storms and problems. These days we've been witnessing and hearing about difficulties that nations face, that people face. We are witnessing the world turning upside down, people have said. And storms will come. Life often has been compared to a stormy sea. Any sailor or fisherman will tell you that storms are part of life for those who are at sea and in their families. No matter how hard they try to avoid them, they come. There are storms and difficulties in every human life, whether we like it or not. They may terrify us, scare us, and threaten our security and life, and we may feel as though we are sinking in a black hole. And desperation may set in. I was just watching the news when I saw all these Japanese. I said, how desperate, how tragic these people feel they are, or feel that their situation is. And when you look around you and you look the storms that are rising up in nations, and you are one individual caught in the crossfires and in the storms and the difficulties and the family breakdowns and the pressures and all kinds of terrible things, you say, if religion ever worked, it better work now. And if there is a God, why is God allowing all these things to happen? And you and I, like the disciples, may feel discouraged and helpless, and in desperation we may wonder whether God really cares what happens to us. Jesus and his disciples had a full and fruitful day. People had come for help, And because the crowd was so great, it made it necessary for Jesus to use a boat as his pulpit. And he started teaching them spiritual lessons from the world of nature by using parables. Parable is a story or a comparison. The Greek word paraboli means you put two things together and you compare them and you look at them. Some of the parables he used were the parable of the sower. The parable, and all this is the same day he preached. The parable of the lamb on a stand. The parable of the growing seed. And the parable of the mustard seed. A very busy day had ended, and yet Jesus was still teaching. But this day was going to close with an adventure, a day the disciples would never forget. Finally, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Let us go over to the other side." And I underline the word us. Let us go over to the other side. What a reassuring word, or what reassuring words these are. Let us go over. Our journey will be a safe passage when we travel with Jesus. When Jesus is walking with us, we may go through fire, we may go through trials, we may go through difficulties, but we know that he is with us. And now to the person, or for the person who does not know who Jesus is, or the person who does not know what we mean when we say when Jesus walks with you, let me put it another way. When God is present when you walk, when God is present when you sleep, when God is present when you go through a difficult period of time, when God cares, when you know that God cares is what I mean when I say when Jesus walks with you and he is in your life. The Christian life is like a journey. We may not be sure and may worry when he calls us to follow him and not knowing whether we will be able to walk the walk we hold back. And there were many examples in the New Testament. When Jesus said, "Come and follow me," they said, "Okay, we will follow you one moment. And yet, we have some business to deal with." He said, a man said, "I have to go and bury my father." Now, obviously, he had to go and bury his father if he was dead. But what he meant was, "Let me go home and wait until my father dies and bury him. And then when I'm older, I'll come and follow you." Someone else said, "I've been just married. And I will follow you, but no, let me go to my wife first." As a matter of fact, he could have said, "Oh, I'll follow you. I'll bring my wife with me. We'll walk together." He didn't say that. Someone else said, "I have bought a land. I have a business. And I have to go. It's already late. I got to go and make the contracts and do this and look at the stock and see how the business is doing." Well, obviously, he could have done that the following day. But when he was invited to come to this huge supper set for him, he rejected, he refused. What reassuring words. Let us go over. We may not be sure and may worry, and yet he is with us. But when we do decide to travel with him, he goes with us the entire journey. Jesus guarantees safe passage to heaven to those who travel with him. Now, you see, I'm not saying God promises safe journey for those who reject him, those who turn their backs to him, because they're not walking the same way. God says, Jesus says, "Follow me." And everyone who follows him, he is safe and secure. because he is with Jesus. But the person who rejects the message, the person who says, I have my own gods, the person who says, I have my own doctrine, the person that says, I have my own whatever, and walks the opposite way, moves away from Christ, he is not safe and secure. Now let's look at the rest of the of that journey. Jesus and his disciples started across the Sea of Galilee toward the eastern shore. Then a violent windstorm came up. Huge waves threatened to swamp the boat. The disciples were in trouble, tossed by the huge waves and in danger of being drowned. Yet, Jesus was sleeping in the storm of the boat, in the stern of the boat. You would have thought they, of all people, were the safest. Jesus was in the boat with them. They were obeying Jesus, yet the storm came. They were traveling with Jesus, yet the storm came. They were in the center of his will, yet the storm came. So any preacher, any teacher who says, when you become a believer, when you follow Christ, don't worry about problems. He is going to resolve all your problems. He is going to pay your bills. He's going to deposit some money in your account. And they do say these things. And they will say, you never get sick, or you will never feel unwell. Well, I tell you what, the Bible says just the opposite. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want to have eternal life, then do what? He said, deny yourself. That means empty yourself from all these worldly things and follow me. And I'll give you everything you need and more. Storms come to us all. Being in Christ's service does not exempt us from storms and problems. While we are in this world, we will face many storms. But why did Jesus allow the storm to come? Is a question. Jesus knew the storm would come. He could have avoided it or sent them away, or sent them away in another way, or send away the storm. But he chose to go through the storm with his disciples. Jesus does that all the time. He travels with us even through the storm. In verse 38 we read, the disciples went to Jesus, woke him up and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Then Jesus got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Teacher, don't you care? God, don't you see? I've lost my job. My child is sick. I don't feel good at all. I'm desperate. And you're doing nothing. Don't you care? And yet, there's a bigger picture. We're looking at this small piece of our puzzle. And there's a bigger picture. That puzzle has to be dealt with, and the place has to be found in the big picture. And the big picture is that we believe in eternal life. I know there are those who don't believe in eternity. I know that there are those who believe that when you die, that's the end. There are those who believe that all kinds of other things happen when you die, there are ways to prevent you from coming back. And you know what? Regardless what religion you come from, a Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, atheistic religions that are, they all have their own theories, but I believe in my heart, and the Bible, who has survived so many centuries, tells us that we all have a special gift. That gift is His breath in us. That gift is eternal life, eternity that will never end. And I don't want to spend eternity away from my Creator, but I want to spend eternity. I can't spend eternity. I want to be in eternity in His presence. And God, believe it or not, people have tough time in believing in God because they cannot see it. But you tell me whether when you go to Japan now, you can see radiation. Can anyone see radiation coming? No, but it's there and it's a killer. And yet, they believe in that because they see the results. And I believe the power of God, we can see it because of the results. The results that are a controlled environment. If that thermostat, the one we have, if you put it 80, 90, this place is going to be boiling. If you put it down to, 5, 10 degrees, you'll be freezing. And yet God has created a universe, God has created a world, and has set the thermostat this much, not more, not less. And God has done all this. And we said there is no God. Okay, fine. Then who is controlling that? Everyone was excited yesterday to look at the moon, which is a little bit bigger. It's big. It's not bigger. It's the same size. It's closer. And it's brighter. It's brighter because it's closer. And it looks bigger because it's closer. And they get excited. But God has created all that. The storm actually helped them to measure their faith or lack of faith. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to them, "Do you still have no faith?" It does take faith. It does take faith for me to believe that when I come up to this pulpit here, I'll have enough strength and God is going to keep me going and not drop dead. I may, when He calls me home. You must have enough faith to get into your car, turn the key, and hoping that it's going to start. When you get into an aeroplane, you have enough faith that the pilot knows what he is doing, and or he is not drunk or on drugs. You have all. We trust people, and yet when it comes to God, we don't trust Him. Yes, we will go through afflictions and storms. Problems are part of life. Jesus does not promise exemptions from the normal storms of life. But these storms teach us many precious lessons that otherwise we would never learn. We develop muscles. I went yesterday to my grandson and I said, "Joshua, let me see. Oh, you're developing muscles." He said, "Yeah, because I'm working out." And he is actually. So you see, something happens when you exercise. Something happens when you go through difficulties and trials and tests. You develop spiritual muscles. Let's not forget that we face storms because we are human and we will face storms such as accidents, sickness, disappointments, death. Of course, it is easy to say a prayer before and after a storm. But what about when you are right in the middle of a storm? When the waves are breaking and there is water in the boat? When the noise of your circumstances threatens to drown out the prayer of your lips? When your child is rebelling, when your wife is leaving you, when your husband is leaving you, when you are losing your job and your landlord is at the door asking for money, you have no time to pray and thank God. You are panicking. It's easy before you get into the boat to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing." And then when you arrive to your destination, and yet, if you are in the middle of the boat, you only can shout for help. That's what the disciples did. If faith in God works, it better work then. And yes, faith in God works. But as the disciples learned, there is nothing like a good storm to add life to your prayer. It also encourages us to go to Jesus in all the storms of life, knowing that the boat will not sink when Jesus is in it. That's very difficult, you know. When you are in the middle of a storm, and water is coming in the boat, and you are about to sink, to say, oh, I'm not going to sink. I'm not going to sink because Christ is there. Jesus was there, but he was testing their faith. I mean, he knew that the storm was coming. He felt the storm, and he said, okay, let me relax for a moment and see what they're going to do. Actually, what they did is panic, even though they knew Christ was there. It also encourages us to go to Jesus when we go through a storm. And remember that there aren't two storms that are identical. We all go through storms, but while we are in the middle of a storm, sometimes we panic. We know that Jesus, God Himself, is with us, but just the same, we worry and panic and question and doubt. I do. Do you? But God is there, and He knows our problems, and He cares, and He is there to help. Jesus is there to help us. Now, once again, I'm not trying to make this message very exciting by saying, don't worry, everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine except one thing. We may go through difficulties. We may go through a period of testing and trials, and some very natural things will affect our life. When you have a cold, it doesn't mean that God doesn't care anymore. When you get sick, when you have arthritis or sugar or diabetes or high blood pressure or whatever, it doesn't mean that God doesn't care. He cares. But you are a human being, and we are in this body, flesh and blood. And we are subject to all the natural diseases and things. And yet we know, even when we are sick, there is God that we can pray to for not only healing, because there are those who will only emphasize. I've had people calling me and say, do you believe in miracles? And I would say, yes, I believe in miracles. Would you then please tell God to heal me? Because He promised that He will heal all our illnesses. And once I was praying with a lady that called me after the radio program, and she says, I have terminal cancer. And I know that when you pray, God has to answer your prayer because you're a pastor, and I want you to pray and ask Him to heal me. And I started praying, and I said, Lord, if it is your will for my sister to be healed, and she hung up the phone. And then a few days later, she called me back, and she says, the only reason I hung up on you is because you said, if it is your will. What do you mean, it is His will? God has promised that He will heal our sicknesses. And that's because she has heard from pulpits everywhere, or around where she is, that God will heal, she was trying to say, actually, never mind the free will, she said. Never mind God's will. God has promised that He will heal. The question the disciples asked, who is this, even the storms obey, is a question that has been asked before. And the answer is, He is the one who invites us to travel with Him. He is the one who said, come to me and I'll give you rest. He is the one who said, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son for whosoever believes in Him, not to perish but to have everlasting. Whosoever, that is, you can be black, you can be white, you can be Asian, you can be African, you can be European, anyone. You can be from any religion, you can be from any background. You just come to God, and Jesus is not a Western God. Jesus is not a European God. Jesus is not a Jewish God. Jesus is not a God that we invaded. Jesus is Jesus Christos, Jesus Christ, is the anointed Messiah that the world has been waiting for a long time. And He is God Himself who says, come to me and I'll give you rest. He is the one who invites us to travel with Him. He is the one who goes with us through the storms. He is the one who is able to deal with all storms. Is Jesus traveling with you in this journey called life? He is the only one who can calm the storms in your life. He is the only one who can give you peace. Once again, I would like to repeat what I just said a few minutes ago. Jesus is not a Baptist leader. Jesus is not the leader of the Christian religion. Jesus is not a white man's religion or black man's religion or age. Jesus is God. We're talking about God Himself who has come to this earth to free us from eternal death and life. And He is the only one who can help us deal with circumstances. And if the circumstances don't change in our life, He'll help us deal with these circumstances. And He's going to give us the strength we need to deal with them. He is the only one who can give you peace and serenity. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for creating us. Thank You so much for sustaining us. Thank You for enabling us to hear from You. And thank You, Lord, for always being there to hear from us, to listen to us, and answering our prayers. Now, this morning, I pray that Your Holy Spirit may touch each one of us, mend our broken lives, restore our relationship with You, and Lord, help us continue this journey of life, knowing that You are with us. And when we cannot continue the walk, and when we are so weak that we falter and fall, You are there to pick us up, strengthen us, and help us. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.